A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad to be back behind the microphone. I know I said I would be off on Monday of this week. Was not anticipating being off on Tuesday either, or as well. I'll let you know what's going on here, but I'm going to save that for the end of the show. We've got plenty of Second Amendment stuff to talk about today, including Kamala Harris electing Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as her running mate, deciding not to go with Mark Kelly, astronaut, fighter pilot, co-founder of the gun control group Giffords. I said a couple of weeks ago that if it weren't for the fact that Mark Kelly is just a more inspiring candidate, quite frankly, than Kamala Harris, I don't agree with his gun views, but I honestly, I think the reason why she went with Walz is because he's not going to upstage her like Mark Kelly very well could have. Anyway, we're going to talk about the selection of Tim Walz with Brian Strausser. He is the chairman of the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus, somebody who has dealt extensively with the Walz when it comes to the right to keep and bear arms. We'll get to that in just a moment. Before we do that, though, let's talk about this for a second. Economists are warning us about massive tax hikes that could hit your IRA and 401k hard. With inflation rising and global uncertainty, it is no wonder that central banks and many Americans are turning to gold. If you haven't thought about gold yet, now's the time. Trust Priority Gold to help you diversify your savings with gold and silver. Text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD for a free gold info guide and see if you qualify for free shipping and storage. Experts agree physical gold is one of the best ways to fortify your savings. Act now to get your portfolio working for you while the market is golden. Text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD to learn more. That's text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD. And now let's talk about the Second Amendment record of Tim Walz, once A-rated by the NRA before he had a change of heart as he sought to take his politics statewide and now nationally. Let's kick off the conversation with Brian Strausser of the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus. Take a look and a listen. Brian, thanks so much for coming on the program, sir. It's good to see you again.
Hey, Cam. Always a pleasure.
So I keep thinking about that Dr. Seuss book, Horton Hears a Who. For some reason today, I just keep thinking Harris Finds a FUD would be a great name for a children's book. Is FUD a good way to describe Tim Walz when it comes to the Second Amendment?
Tim Walz is totally a FUD. He definitely painted a different picture when he was a congressman from a conservative district that Donald Trump won by huge margins in southern Minnesota. But when he went to run for governor, he became a FUD. And he'll tell you anytime the subject of guns come up that he's a hunter and he owns guns and he hunts pheasants and birds and, you know, whatever. But you'll only ever see him with a shotgun.
Yeah. And in fact, he has called for a ban on so-called assault weapons, right? He really does kind of toe the Democrat Party line when it comes to guns, even though he was once rated A by the NRA. As you say, when he made that shift from representing a rural district to going statewide, coincidentally, that's when he started to evolve on the issue, right?
Yeah, he totally flip-flopped. He claims that his daughter, Hope, talked him into changing his position following Parkland when he came out for magazine restrictions, background checks, red flags, and a ban on so-called assault weapons. And he's been very adamant about all of those things since running for governor in 2018.
And so what has he been able to put on the books in Minnesota over the past few years?
Not much. What they've gotten passed in Minnesota last year, they passed universal background checks, a watered down universal background check law, and a red flag gun confiscation bill. They passed a ban on bump stocks last year and a ban on binary triggers this year. They got some funding for, you know, gun violence prevention organizations and actions, and they increased the penalty for straw purchases in state law. And that's essentially all they've gotten done, despite having complete control of our legislature.
Yeah. And you and I have talked about this before. I mean, they have complete control, but it's pretty narrow control, certainly in the Senate, right? A one vote majority.
Yeah. One vote majority in the Senate. And two of those senators are in essentially Republican areas of the state that Donald Trump has won. previously, and they know that. Those guys did vote for background checks and bump stock bans and binary trigger bans and red flags, but they stopped. One of them came out this year against the rest of the DFL's gun control agenda and stopped it. I mean, they just completely dropped everything but the binary trigger ban this year.
So what was on the agenda? What were they pushing that they didn't get enacted into law?
So they tried a number of things, right? They had magazine restrictions and a ban on assault weapons. They had registration. They had a variety of different things that they had proposed. The bills that were moving that Senator Housechild stopped when he said, I'm not voting for any of this, were mandatory lost and stolen reporting and safe storage. What they defined as safe storage, we called it defenseless storage. Those were the two other bills that were moving that when he came out and said, I'm not voting for this stuff, that was the end. It came to a halt.
Did Walls ever come out in objection to those bills?
He wanted all of those bills passed. I would say this year he hasn't talked as much about an assault weapons ban until more recently, but he was pushing pretty hard on the bills that were moving, on the loss and stolen reporting and the safe storage bill.
Okay.
Talked about those several times, but just didn't get, there just wasn't momentum once the Senate came out against it.
Interesting. He's not a demagogue on the issue. He's not one that, at least I don't get the impression that he is, right? I know that you probably hate the phrase Minnesota nice, but he does seem to be one of those guys who certainly, you know, sounds reasonable. If you're just listening to his tone of voice, doesn't seem to be a yeller and a screamer. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of this stuff, because I'm certainly not an expert on Tim Walls.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily how he talks. It's what he's saying and it's what he wants. That's the issue here.
Yeah, I think generally what I've seen from watching Tim Walz for the last 7 years as governor and during the campaigns in 2018 and 2022, he'll come across with that Midwestern dad, Minnesota nice, folksy demeanor, right? Until you push him and then he gets mad and frustrated. If you go back and look at the 2022 debate, some of the debates in 2022 with then Senator Scott Jensen, that was the Republican nominee for governor, Jensen got him pretty wrapped around the axle by challenging the governor's COVID response and response to the 2020 riots and civil unrest here in Minneapolis. And that definitely got Walls mad. And I've heard from our legislative allies in private meetings when they've been negotiating budgets and bonding bills and other things with the governor, that he would really get upset and, you know, snap and say, you know, display more anger in private than you would generally see from him in public.
Okay. Interesting. And I mean, well, and you know, listen, I mean, I know that he is supposed to be the foil to JD Vance, right? Supposed to add that Midwestern voice, supposed to, you know, as you say, I think be that dad persona. Right. But it does sound like it's going to be possible for the Trump campaign to maybe get under his skin. And certainly, you know, you talk about things like the COVID response that's sort of outside of our wheelhouse here on 2A issues. But, mm-hmm. you know, the riots that took place and the calls to defund the police from the Minneapolis Police Department, the spike in violent crime. I think Walls does have to answer for all of that. It did happen under his watch as governor.
It did. Yeah, I mean, he's always been opposed to defunding the police, and he's on record as saying that. I think if you put, for those that don't know Minnesota politics as well, our Democratic Party is definitely to the left of the nation. And Walls, you know, came in as more of a moderate. I think to get the nomination, to win the primary, I should say, he had to move left. But the party itself, the legislature, is to his left. And I think he's been a little bit of a moderating influence there. But that hasn't stopped him from signing any of the crazy bills that have gone on here, whether they're gun related or not. Some folks may not even be aware of this, but you know, we endorse candidates here through caucuses. And Tim Walls was not the Democratic endorsed candidate in 2018. They picked somebody to his left. Then Representative Aaron Murphy, was the nominee from the Democratic Party, the DFL party. And Walz ran in the primary and beat her, and then went on to win the election in the fall of 2018. So he definitely came at this a little more moderate than what the rest of the party has been.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that's one of the reasons why Harris actually tapped him to be her running mate, right? So that he can sort of moderate her own views, or at least moderate the views that many people have of Kamala Harris, right? I mean, well, how bad can she be if she picked Tim Walz, Minnesota right. dad, Minnesota nice?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the breakdown of the governor's elections in 2018 and 2022, you know, I think a lot of folks think that Harris may have picked Walz to bring in the rural vote, or maybe, you know, more moderate Republicans. But if you look at the breakdown of the vote here in the state, he didn't pull in the rural areas. He didn't even pull in his own old congressional district. And actually, after he ran for governor and took office, he was replaced by a Republican who has since subsequently won re-election multiple times. So he comes at this from a really unique situation where I don't know that he's going to be able to bring in the rural vote that perhaps some Democratic strategists thought that he would.
All right. So if you were advising the Trump campaign on Second Amendment issues, specifically with Tim Walz, what do you think a good line of argument or a good way to approach Walz's record would be?
Well, I mean, I don't think his record on 2A is good. I think he's flip-flopped. You can go back and look at his statements on the Heller decision, for example, where he praised that, and now he advocates for laws that would have violated even what was in the Heller decision. So I think, you know, you can point out his inconsistency and his flip-flopping, that he can't be trusted on that issue. I think you can also appeal to voters who are interested in the Second Amendment as you know, the right that allows you to possess firearms to defend yourself. And Tim Walz talks about the Second Amendment about being about hunting, and they are not the same thing. And you can even look at his inability to protect people during the civil unrest here, and the need to be able to have firearms to protect yourself against his approach to civil unrest. So I think there's some clear comparisons between Senator Vance's record and Donald Trump's record on this versus Tim Walz and Kamala Harris.
You know, we also have seen the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals recently say that Minnesota's ban on concealed carry for adults under the age of 21 is unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. This is obviously something that Attorney General Keith Ellison has been, leading the charge defending this law. Do you know, has Walz commented on that at all?
I don't think the governor has made a single comment about that. I'm sure they've talked. Obviously, Ellison is the legal decision maker on whether or not to appeal, which he has now appealed that case. I don't think the governor has made any comments on this at all. The only thing I could say that might telegraph his stance on that is part of his legislative proposals for the current session, the last 2 years, was to raise the age to purchase a firearm in Minnesota from 18 to 21. And that got zero traction in the legislature. There weren't even hearings on that bill.
But he proposed that.
He did, along with his magazine restrictions and other bills.
Yeah. So as much of a moderate as Walz may try to portray himself, clearly, I mean, and you just talked about, you know, how the legislature is generally to the left of Walz on a lot of these issues. Clearly, he's taking some pretty marginal positions when it comes to our right to keep and bear arms, some fringy positions.
Yeah. And he he has signed these bills. He's advocated for these bills. I don't think he's vetoed anything the current legislature has put in front of him. And there's a lot of, there's definitely a lot of progressive policy, not just guns, but other topics that have come through that he has not opposed whatsoever.
I don't know if so far it's amazing. Kamala Harris has yet to do any sort of press conference or even a one-on-one interview, I think, since she kind of was handed the nomination. I think that's by design. Maybe Walz is going to be the same way, but I would love to hear Walz answer the question. If we can have all of these gun control measures without violating people's Second Amendment rights, give me an example of a gun control law that would violate somebody's Second Amendment rights, in your opinion, because that to be the answer, the question that nobody asks, and politicians, the anti-gun politicians never get, they're never hit with that.
I love that question. And you're right. The media rarely ever asks that of folks. Whereas we tell folks all the time when they call in and go, hey, I'm going to go meet a candidate. They're not pro-gun, but, you know, I think they're more moderate. What should I ask them? I'm like, well, ask this question. What gun control law do they believe is unconstitutional should be struck down? There's never an answer to that.
Yeah.
But I wish more folks would ask it.
I do too. Maybe one day we'll get to, between now and November, we'll get to see that question asked of Tim Walz. But Brian, in the meantime, I appreciate very much you giving us some insight and in your experience with the Walz regime there in Minnesota. And look forward to having you back again very soon. I've got to ask you real quick before we go, what's the latest with the state senator who was charged with breaking into her stepmother's house?
Yeah, so Senator Nicole Mitchell, she is still in office. The court hearings on her case have been postponed. She's changed lawyers. And I believe they had the judge recuse her. They filed for a recusal. That's probably just a delay tactic. But she hasn't gone back for a hearing yet. So I don't know if there's some negotiation going on a deal or what exactly is going on. The legislature has been pretty clear, based on previous ethics committee hearings, that they wouldn't even begin to deal with this until there's an outcome in court. There was a pretty contentious ethics committee hearing around whether or not they should even open an investigation. And her lawyer showed up and is like, we're not going to cooperate with any of this. And you really have no right to take any action until the court issue is resolved. And it just didn't, I mean, the Democrats control that committee, so it just didn't go anywhere.
Interesting. And again, I don't recall seeing any statement from Walz after her arrest. Did he keep quiet on that too, to the best of your knowledge?
If I'm not mistaken, after the legislative session ended, everyone in leadership and the governor called for her resignation. So the head of the party, the Senate majority leader, the governor and lieutenant governor, if I'm not mistaken.
After the session was over and her vote was no longer needed.
Yeah, right. I'm not sure if we've talked since the end of session, but in the last 20 minutes of session, in both houses, the Democrats cut off debate in a vote. They brought a 1,900 page omnibus bill forward that had everything that hadn't yet passed that they wanted, and they rushed it through in the last 20 minutes, and she was the deciding vote in the Senate.
And Walz signed that bill?
And Walz signed that bill.
Yeah.
So there's now some legal action over this. This week, United Health Group filed a lawsuit over some HMO provisions that are in that bill, trying to get it struck down based on we have a single subject rule in the Minnesota Constitution. So we'll see where that goes. There may be some news from us on that front as well in the coming weeks.
All right. Well, we'll stay tuned. And Brian, you've got an open microphone anytime you want to join us. Thank you again for coming on the program today. It's always good seeing you, man.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Cam.
My thanks to Brian for joining us on the program. We will look forward to having him back again here very soon. But don't buy the hype that Tim Walz is some moderate when it comes to firearms. Unless your definition of moderate is, you can have a shotgun if you want to go pheasant hunting, but how dare you try to exercise the right to carry if you're a young adult? How dare you own the most commonly sold firearm or commonly sold rifle in the country? And honestly, who knows where Tim Walz stands on even things like handgun bans or the efforts by the gun control groups to declare Glocks as machine guns. And I'm guessing that the media is not going to press him too hard on those issues any more than they'll press Kamala Harris on those issues. That's just not what the media does. They know that this election is up in the air right now, and they are going to do everything they can to help Kamala Harris. And with the volatility from this election and a national debt just breaking $35 trillion for the first time ever, there has never been a better time than now to consider physical gold or silver as a way to protect your savings. Now, I will say that if this election goes sideways, I'm afraid that things are going to get even worse. The good news, though, is that there's something you can do now ahead of whatever future chaos might be coming. Wealth Protection Research has found a gold partner in Sasco Gold that specializes in helping everyday Americans protect their retirement accounts like 401ks, IRAs, or TSPs using a loophole that allows them to convert into physical gold or silver, tax penalty free. Just text the word TRUTH to 76626 to learn more. That's right. You can break free from your captive retirement account and enjoy the peace of mind knowing that your retirement savings is now stored in physical gold and silver that you control. If you're interested in learning the truth about how you can protect your retirement with gold and silver, you can get a free gold investment kit that explains it all from Sasco Gold just by texting TRUTH to 76626. Drew from Sasco is standing by, waiting to help. Just text TRUTH to 76626 and for your free gold investment kit, text TRUTH to 766-TRUTH. Again, that's the word TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, to 76626 right now. All right, turning our attention to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. Let's start there with a headline from CWB Chicago. Migrant mugged 80-year-old Bridgeport woman, prosecutors say, and a judge released him the very next day. Yeah. Now, prosecutors didn't even ask that this individual be held. According to CWB Chicago, this was last Friday, August the 2nd. Woman was about a block from her home when she says a man rode up to her on a bike. She would tell police that the man got off his bike, took her purse, then stole the hat off the top of her head. Then he got on his bike and he pedaled away. Two guys saw what was going on, though, and they chased after the assailant. They detained Elio Redondo Ragas and kept him there until police arrived. They arrested Ragas after the victim confirmed that, yep, that's the guy who took my stuff. Prosecutors charged him with robbery of a victim older than 60, but they did not ask Judge Carolyn Glennon Goodman to detain him pending trial, and the judge sent him home after ordering him to stay away from the victim and to show up to court. Here's the problem. Now, you can say, look, this is a fairly minor offense. There are probably, you know, more serious crimes where individuals do need to be held behind bars. Maybe that's not the case with Mr. Ragas here, even though he's a immigrant from Venezuela. Maybe we're worried that he's not going to show up. As it turns out, he has a history of not showing up in court. CWB Chicago reports that Ragas failed to show up for court in another case filed against him last October after a 65-year-old man reported that Ragas broke two front windows of his home, entered his home, and then stole food and beer. Now, that report said police didn't seek felony charges because the victim said he was content with misdemeanors. Ragas went home from the police station with instructions to show up for court on October 23rd. He didn't show up. Prosecutors ended up dropping the entire case, even though he wasn't there. So this is not just a case of prosecutors say, well, you know, we've got to triage this and there are more serious offenders out there. No. Prosecutors haven't taken Mr. Ragas seriously even before this latest crime. And there is something rotten going on in Cook County, Illinois. All right. Today's Armed Citizen story from Albuquerque, New Mexico, where a disabled Vietnam veteran shot and killed a home intruder. Danny Ricketts says a guy with a knife tried to break into his home through a window, but Ricketts had a firearm. He said he grabbed a gun from a nightstand, shot the intruder, and then called police. KOB Channel 4 in Albuquerque says when police got to his apartment early on Monday, they found the intruder down the street. Ricketts says, just like a bad dream. He says, I looked at the window. I didn't see any blood. I didn't see any body. So I thought I missed initially, and I was kind of grateful at that. He said he woke up in the morning, Monday morning, hear the sound of his window slamming. He said, I could see there was a knife sticking under the window, sort of wiggling back and forth, and the window was coming up. Ricketts says, I keep a pistol on my nightstand under a hat. I reached it. I got it. I said, I still don't know what I said. I said, what the bleep are you doing? Get the hell away from me, or something like that. Then he fired one round, and the person took off. Police have not released the name of the suspect, but a surveillance video from a neighbor shows him running by after the shooting. Ricketts again called 911, but again, the intruder was found deceased in the street. Police say as of now, Ricketts entirely justified in defending himself. Albuquerque Police Department spokesperson Gilbert Gallego says it sounds like this gentleman the other day called police, secured his firearm, I believe, told him exactly what had happened. And again, he was in a place where he had every right to be, in his bed. The suspect had no right to enter his home, but Ricketts would have been justified and sounds like is justified in using deadly force under those circumstances. We'll keep our eyes open for any details and updates and bring them to you as they come. Finally today, our good deed of the day, in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. A pair of friends in Warwick, Rhode Island, who were able to save the life of a stranger as they were walking down the street. A man and his son were apparently moving a boat out of their driveway when the mast hit a live electrical wire. According to Warwick Police Chief Bradford Connor, both men were shocked unconscious. The son came to, but noticed that his dad wasn't breathing. So he comes running out into the street screaming. That's where Shane Wallerick and Zoe Muscat were just walking by. They were just strolling through the neighborhood. And Muscat says he came out into the street screaming, so we just started sprinting. Muscat, by the way, is CPR certified. And Muscat and Wallerick wasted little time in performing CPR. Muscat says we're all ducking, trying not to get shocked by the boat. There was no thinking. There was just doing. So Muscat, Wallerick, and the man's son each took turns with chest compressions for about 10 minutes while they were waiting for first responders to show up. Muscat says, I feared for the worst. We never really saw any signs of him waking up. But they kept on going. And when first responders arrived, they were able to resuscitate the man. He was brought to a Rhode Island hospital. And the two friends have since been told that the man is expected to survive. Wallerick says, I'm just grateful that this family still has a dad. The outcome could have been totally different. Yeah, absolutely. And again, in the right place, at the right time, willing able to do the right thing. Shane Wallerick, Zoe Muscat, we thank you for your very, very good deed. All right. So before we get out of here, if you want to know why I was gone yesterday. So last Friday, my wife, Missy, she'd been complaining. You know, as you know, she's stage 4 lung cancer patient. So she's been complaining that it's been a little hard to breathe, a little pain. Wasn't sure what was going on, but it got bad enough eventually that Thursday afternoon, I think it was Thursday afternoon, the days have just kind of blended together. Yes, it was Thursday afternoon. No, I take that back. It was Friday afternoon. She said, you know what, I'm going to call the pulmonologist. Called the pulmonologist. They said, you know, you need to go to the ER. So she went to the ER. She got admitted to the hospital with blood clots. They were initially concerned that there was a infection, perhaps in her heart, in her lungs. So she was in the ICU. Then they transferred her from the local hospital in Farmville to another hospital in Lynchburg, where she spent the next 3 days before she was released on Monday afternoon. So she is doing better. I had to take her to some follow-up appointments yesterday, which is why I was gone yesterday. She is, as I said, she's feeling better. She's on treatment now for the blood clots, so hopefully that is a non-issue going forward. But definitely some scary moments over those days when she was in the hospital. So didn't really want to say anything on social media, but now you know what's going on. As always, if you're the praying kind, I definitely appreciate your thoughts and your prayers for Missy. It's been, next month will be 8 years since her initial diagnosis, and she's still kicking. She's still fighting. And as she told me in the hospital, she said, you know what? I haven't been fighting cancer for 8 years just to be taken out by an infection. So she is strong. She is a fighter. She is a survivor. But your thoughts and prayers, again, are truly appreciated. So thank you. Now you know what's going on. Hopefully that is resolved and we don't have to worry about this going forward. But I will ask for your patience. This, you know, there might be a day or two where I do have to just suddenly take off. But I promise I'll be back just as soon as I can. All right. In fact, I will be back tomorrow, knock on wood, God willing, talking with Nolan Howard, farms instructor up in Boston. You know, we talked with Nolan and several of his friends. It's a week before last, right before this gun control law took effect in Massachusetts. Well, now the law is in effect, we think. We don't really know what's going on. It's very much still up in the air, but the litigation is underway. And there is also an attempt to try to undo this law via a referendum. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't know how successful that's going to be in anti-gun Massachusetts, but we're going to be talking about that with Nolan. Also going to be talking about all of the chaos that this new law has caused since its August 1st effective date. And again, that's coming up on tomorrow's Bearing Arms Cam and Company, so I encourage you to tune in for that. And in the meantime, don't forget to check out BearingArms.com throughout the day. We're keeping you up to date on all of the latest Second Amendment news and information from all across the nation, including the Fourth Circuit's decision that AR-15s aren't protected by the Second Amendment. Kind of knew that was coming. But now this case gets to be appealed directly to the Supreme Court. There's no other challenges. There's no other option here. This is now going to be front and center before the Supreme Court this fall. Will they take a gun ban case? We've got coverage of that and more, again, at BearingArms.com. So make sure you check out the website. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.